that's what happens when you get super glue mixed in with sensitive tissues.
Yeah, no, and it's worse when you go ahead and get all the hair. There is
another fine edition of the Black Tower Podcast. We are a Wheel of Time podcast, and we are coming to you for the first episode after the most amazing Wheel of Time event in the history of Wheel of Time events, the Gathering Madness. Yes, we know you're all very excited. It was amazing. We had several people come. It's been a couple weeks now. We don't have any COVID outbreaks. We done
actually
good.
Have a test. Everybody's we done back good, negative then. Monday. So,
see,
me too.
Hey! So
mine didn't come in on Monday. Mine came in on Saturday. But
so totally, what I'm hearing, I had one too. Yeah.
What I'm hearing is if somebody catches it, it's from Josh. Got it.
So we're here now.
I paid the doctors, the best doctor in the world. He said you're clean. You're perfectly healthy. You have the greatest bill of health. No, don't worry. Everyone stands like a minotaur without their hind legs. It's fine.
A lot of smart people say that it was the healthiest event in the history of events.
They checked my blood. It's not some blood. Are saying it's ever. USA.
Some are saying ever. It's you know, a lot of people are talking about it. I think that's enough of that. You guys are awesome. We're so happy that some of you were able to attend. We're so happy that we got to meet some of you in real life, IRL. You guys are the best. We got to hang out with each other again for the second time. We did the Taste the Taint Challenge.
Oh, my God. And all of us almost died. Yep.
Go to Pornhub.com and search BTP After Dark. You'll see what happened after you guys left.
Hey, all right.
There can be wholesome content there.
There can really be.
There's no wholesome content. There can be. Like, we're allowed to post wholesome content. There's not. I'm going to let you know right now. Just because we're allowed to doesn't mean we have.
You got to go to page 635.
It was a good time.
Turn
it was
to
a good
page
time.
Now, 394.
We do have prizes that went forth to numerous different peoples.
Indeed.
I want you all to know that, A, we are aware that you won. Because we are the ones who selected the winners. Hey, but COVID and the world being kind of crazy, it does actually put a longer
handle on its axe.
A longer handle on that axe. Hey-o.
We are lockstep, motherfucker.
I want you guys to know that we are aware of these things. We will get your prizes to you. Ashaman's honor. It's going to happen. You're going to get it. Okay. So you're going to get it.
I think we even have.
X going to give it to you.
I'm not going to say extra. I think the Crystal Barista planned on some extra stock of some of the prizes, I think, if I remember correctly.
Indeed,
which
yes.
Is no way guaranteed because I think I heard this all after doing the mixology contest. So who knows what I really did or did not hear. But I think there was some that like, because I think, like for the three contests we had there, physical contests.
The axe throwing,
wasn't there like a double
Fruit Ninja?
Yeah, isn't there like a double
Aaron Mark challenge?
Each of the prizes, weren't there like two made? Or am I remembering wrong?
You might be remembering wrong. I don't have those numbers in front of me at this moment.
Adrian, help.
So I think what she said was that all of the prizes for those three challenges were able to be bought in the store, except that there's a special piece of each of them that's like Gathering Madness 2020 or something that's on each of them that was only for the prize winner.
Okay.
But like that those designs and whatnot could also be purchased in the Spreadshirt or, you know, wherever they are located.
Okay.
Because I don't know if all of them are on the Spreadshirt or if they're on the stuff by Jen.
Well, everything's in the works. It'll all be finalized. Any confusion or whatever will definitely be ironed out. Yes. Those of you that are owed prizes,
The important most... thing is that prizes did go out. Yes.
Not yet.
They we know who have won the prizes. And we're working on them going out.
I don't know. The timelines are a bit weird because
some
of you are listening live. Some of you are not listening live. So by the time this episode is published, we may very well have already sent out those prizes.
Sure. Yeah. They are in the works is the important thing.
Remember to send mine.
The world is a little weird. So if, you know, 2-day shipping is normally a thing, it's not always a thing anymore. If 1-week shipping is a thing, it's not always a thing anymore because the world is fucked.
Agreed.
And so we will get you your prizes. There are a couple of us here who are waiting on prizes, and we will wait patiently as we do ask all of you as well. We would not actually expect... Oh, shit. We would not
I got my prize!
We would not ask any of you to do something that we would not be willing to do ourselves. So go ahead and expect your prizes as soon as we can get them out. Feel like one of our prize winners might actually just have theirs walked over to their house.
That is a legitimate fact. Because
those are true facts, not alternate.
Turns out there are a lot of people who just live next door to me who not only are Wheel of Time fans, but who are Black Tower podcast listeners.
Which is awesome. Which is super awesome.
Yeah. And as a matter of fact, one of those... Go ahead.
I was just going to say, one of those learned that my kids have a a D&D group, and they're over at my house right now playing D&D with my kids.
What? Damn.
That's what we call lifelong friendships made. Yep. Thank you to the Wheel of Time and to Robert Jordan. Here's to the Wheel of Time and to Robert Jordan. Cheers.
Cheers.
All right, and of course,
Josh, what we need to do is we need to get you your Dusty Wheel Frosty mug so that we can just have three different...
The trifecta.
Yeah, the trifecta of cups. Sorry, Andrew, you were...
We can't call it trifecta anymore. We have to call it trifecta now, so...
The trifecta.
Ah! Because she won. Made a promise at the Gathering the Madness that we would do at some point a kind of BTP merch style giveaway where... Somebody will be able to get a BTP logo hoodie. We are definitely going to make that happen. We haven't decided when. Don't want to do it right on the tail of everything from the Gathering Madness. Kind of want to space things out for fun and enjoyment. So that is going to be happening. We will make sure that happens. But we as far as the coordination and how we're going to do the giveaway and whatever we do for it. But I will definitely be making sure that that gets bought and sent out to whoever wins. Wherever
details to iron out.
And if you go to our website, blacktowerpod.com, you can scroll down to the bottom and see our latest patrons. And you will notice that there is a new name on there. We have Layton. Layton is on there as an Ashaman of the Quendiar Order. Congratulations.
Damn.
Layton, thank you so much for your patronage. You are awesome. We are grateful to you, and we thank you so much for supporting the show.
Yes.
And we promise to put your hard-earned donations to good use.
Is it up there? Indeed. I don't see it yet. Oh, it will be by the time this goes up.
It should have been.
Are you sure you published it
the other day?
Oh, I see.
It will be by the
Friday. I see Malkir Talks. I see Uriel, not Uriah.
Son of a biscuit.
Uriah. Emily, Iris, and then I see that Uriel. Echo was promoted.
Okay. I will have to go update that. Because
damn you, technology.
Hawking technology.
But yeah, so if you would like to become a patron.
It's okay. He's used to these Terran Grials. He doesn't know how these fucking computers work.
What kind of Terran Grial is this?
It's just crazy. But you can become a Patreon for as little as $1 a month. All proceeds go to support the show and hosting and broadcasting and all that goodness and costs, as well as prizes and giveaways. So,
yes,
you know, I'm just saying, you're helping yourself.
Yes. With that, Patreon announcement time.
Announcements.
So, for our soldier patrons and above, the pre-recording thing is not changing. That will still be there for our soldier and above tiers, as well as the live listening, which is an unedited listening to the episode. So you get to hear every tainty fuck up, every tainty screw up. And all we ask is for your undying loyalty and you all signed the NDA, right?
And $1 a month or more.
I put that on there somewhere. Like, by subscribing at any tier, you consent to the BTP NDA.
I was going with that. You know those commercials that used to come out in the 90s? For just $1 a month, you could sponsor a child in Africa. Uh-huh. I was thinking we could do it for just $1 a month, you could sponsor an Ashaman in the Black Tower.
And hell, if you guys want, if you, the Patreons and the listeners, want to go ahead and have us come up with fictional Ashaman that you are supporting, and to you know, once a year or whatever it is, send you a postcard from that Ashaman, I would be willing to take on that that
dude. You know what? I will say this too. And this is something we've kicked around, but I think it's time we say it. You guys have heard of Cameo, right? You listeners have heard of Cameo. Well, I'm going to drop it right now, and I'm going to say you drop us $10, and we, the Black Tower Podcast, will sing happy birthday. We'll sing, congratulations.
It's Raiden, man.
We will say congratulations in the taintiest way possible for you, for your loved ones, whatever you want. You let us know what you want, and we will Cameo the hell out of it.
Yeah. There's also the link to the BTP OnlyFans on Patreon where you can buy pictures of our buttholes to help us move into our dream house at the age of 17.
And nipples. Lots of nipples. There is so many nipples. It's all not the nipples. Even funny.
All
also,
eight of mine.
To understand what Mipples is, y'all going to have to be Patreons to go ahead and get the pre-recording, yep. And then you'll understand what Mipples are.
So, but the big announcement for Patreon. The big one.
Oh, the big one.
So, the important one. The one we started this to announce.
If you're already a Patreon, you will hear it again Friday. Those of you listening live, you can hear it again Friday. Because we have a slight excess of content thanks to the Gathering Madness, our live listeners, the episode you are about to listen to / currently listening to will not actually be available this coming Friday, the 30th of October. It will not be available until the 6th of November, 2020. However, if you are a dedicated tier Patreon or above, you will get these episodes 1 week early. So if you are dedicated tier or above, this episode will be live for you on Patreon on the 30th of October. Again, that's dedicated tier or above. Fun things. And there may or may not already be the decision that video will be included in that. So you not only get to hear, but you get to see.
Ooh. Well, so. I will say there is visual. There is video because we...
Oh, there is.
Post the season 2 trailer.
Oh yeah,
you've which heard if you guys, their voices.
If you guys now haven't seen
their faces,
oh.
The Black Tower Podcast, Andrew, Daniel,
Moore,
and Josh,
Moore,
with special guest Jean-Claude Van Damme, back again in the same shit you've seen over. And over.
And over.
And over again.
Oh my god, he's
and
doing
by that
the
we mean
again.
He does the splits. Coming this summer, Little Tortilla Boy.
Oh dude, that's one of the greatest sketches of all time.
Dude, it's so good.
But you guys go to
you
our
threw the chopper.
They went
if
too
you
far.
Seen...
He went too far.
If you haven't seen the trailer, go to our YouTube. Because you definitely need to. We have a YouTube channel. This is where all
go
the
to the YouTube
to be live. This is where all our videos are going to be hosted. So you will need to subscribe and hit the bell so that you know when we put out new content, and so you can see our faces and the taintiness of our recordings. It has to happen.
Also, a little extra thing for you. There. Go ahead.
Okay.
Let's
little extra thing for you. The video associated with the episode we are currently recording will never see the light of day on YouTube.
Oh my God.
It's a special Patreon only?
Yeah.
Man, you know, I'm not saying that we treat our Patreons with the utmost respect and that we give them everything and that we love them and that they're the best people ever and that their benefits are skyrocketing through the roof. I'm not saying any of those things. But what I am saying is literally all of those things.
But no, but so you guys should know that there is a whole lot of goodness going on. Whole lot of fun, happiness.
So much goodness. On.
And more to come as we think of it and do it.
What else do we do? I was about to say, we got our Twitter, we got our YouTube, we got our Instagram. You got to follow us on all those things because we put all the taintiness. We spread also our taint across all of the platforms.
Indeed. I also just want to throw out there, you know for a fact that this channel is proper and refined.
Something like
and
that.
And just the most professional of... Because did you hear what Josh said? He said that you go on YouTube and you subscribe and you hit the bell. You hit it.
You don't smash it.
You don't fucking destroy the bell. You don't fucking ring the bell until it cracks. No, you hit the bell. You do it.
What you do.
You go ahead and get updates.
So to bring shout outs to a close.
Hit the notification
symbol. So to bring shout outs, or not shout outs, but plugs and everything to a close, go over to blacktowerpod.com. Where you can click very easy, convenient links to get to all of our social medias and stuff.
Everything is there.
The Twitter, the Instagram, the YouTube, all that fun stuff. And after you go to all that and you follow us and subscribe to us and hit the bell and do all that fun stuff, make sure you head over to thegreatblight.com and just enjoy.
The Great Blight.
If you want to know... If you want to know what Wheel of Time is all about and get samplings from the greatest Wheel of Time content creators in the industry right now, thegreatblight.com is where you go. That hands down, that is just a fact.
It's true. You don't have to be lonely at greatblight.com.
The Great Blight. What content creators swipe right?
Mavis is out walking the cornfields again.
Swipe right at the Great Blight.
More Wheel of Time marriages put together by thegreatblight.com than any other match site ever.
Pokemon Go, more like go to thegreatblight.com.
I hate it. Please don't ever say that again.
But all right.
But enough of that. Andrew, we have a very special spoiler warning for the folks tonight.
Oh, yeah. You might have heard this at such illustrious world-renowned events as The Gathering Madness, or also in last week's episode.
Oh, shit. Those were world-renowned.
Here you go.
Welcome to the Black Tower. This is your spoiler condom. If you have not read the complete works of Robert Jordan, The Wheel of Time, books 1 to 14, and also New Spring, big bad book of white arts, and The Companion, you are at risk of being spoiled. Spoilers come with side effects. These side effects may include headache, nausea, vomiting, death, dizziness, vaginal or penile eruptions and ejaculations, dysentery, cardiac arrhythmia, mild heart explosions, varicose veins, darkened stool, darkened souls, more vomiting, arthritis, hemorrhoids or diabetes, virginity. Mild discomfort, vampirism or werewolfism. Gender inequality for the whole planet. Spontaneous dental hydroplosion. Sugar highs, even more vomiting. Or maybe just a mild rash. If you cannot deal with these side effects, please leave now. For fear of spoilers, you have been warned.
So I just want to say again, thank you so much, Valkyrie Rob, for that. That was the amount of creativity and just extra virginity! Wonderfulness that is even more vomiting. It's fantastic. Also, we were thinking of going ahead and making this a Patreon thing. I know that plugs are over. And I will make this very quick.
Oh, it's on the
we
list.
Were planning on making, this a Patreon thing that we would have only Patreons be available to send us a spoiler warning. But I'm going to open up it up to everyone. If you send us, if you make a spoiler warning and send it to us, as you have heard, Valkyrie Robs is amazing, and we've now used it twice because it's so f-ing good. If you send us a spoiler warning here at the Black Tower Podcast, either through blacktowerpod.com or at blacktowerpod@gmail.com, you may hear it on an episode. There is a good chance that if yours is well thought out and well put together, that you could hear it on an episode. Just throwing that out there. To anyone who wants to send it to us. If we get too many, we may go ahead and back off of that and make it a Patreon thing. Maybe. But you know what would have to happen for us to do that? Is too many people would need to send us spoiler warnings. So make it happen, everybody.
Well, we already
send us too many spoiler warnings. So do it. I challenge you to send us too many spoiler warnings.
For those of you who want to know the lofty company that Rob, Valkyrie Rob is in, we only have one other celebrity spoiler warning. At the Black Tower Podcast, we have...
Valkyrie Rob is a celebrity.
Dude, he's the sexiest chef.
No, I'm not saying he's not. You said we only have one other, and it says it depends on your definition of celebrity.
Wait. Dude, these two people that we're talking about are celebrities.
I'm referring to Valkyrie Rob as a celebrity. And
the sexiest chef in Malkyr.
The other spoiler warning that we have is a single entity. I realize it's two people, but it is a single entity for the purpose of my statement, which is
for the purposes of everyone's statements.
Kate Redding and Michael Kramer also recorded a spoiler warning for us. Now it's not as tainty.
It's not
as Valkyrie Rob's.
It's definitely more official. It's definitely more professional.
It is. And As to be expected by Kate and Michael. Yeah, come on.
Just class acts.
The best. Hey, give it up for Kate and Michael. Like, those guys are awesome. But let's talk about what
we'll
use theirs
next week.
Yeah, right?
That's gonna
unless
happen.
We get another one. Maybe we'll use another special spoiler if someone sends it to us. Otherwise, we'll just go ahead and use Kate and Michael.
Let's do this. Okay, so, gentlemen. And dark friends and ladies, what we're talking about tonight is the scariest moments in the Wheel of Time. Because it is spoopy season. I don't know if you knew that or not. So we're going to go with the spoopiest moments in the Wheel of Time. And indeed, there are some terrifying ones.
There are.
Like, oh my God. Robert Jordan and Brandon Sanderson both, I think, did a really great job of painting some very terrifying pictures.
Which, to be fair, I will throw out there that I feel like Brandon Sanderson only really started throwing out, like, particularly spoopy stuff after Harriet went to him and said, yo, Brandon, Hey, guess what? This is your story now. How about you throw some spoops in there?
Well, I think her statement too was, shit's unraveling. It needs to be bad.
Yep.
So you need to amp up the spoopy.
Let's get spoops.
We throw need spoopy in poopies.
Some skeletons. Wait.
And so I'll just
put up a ghost stencil to your butthole.
Since we're starting at this particular segue, I can just say that Hinderstap, first off, was 100% Brandon Sanderson. That was all Brandon. He wrote that entire setting and scenario because Harriet came to him and said, okay, I like what you're doing, but remember, this is the end of the world. It needs to be terrifying. Reality needs to be unraveling.
Did Harriet go to Brandon and she was like, okay, so here's the Earth round.
Damn, that is a sweet Earth, you might say.
So besides meteors crash into us, the polar ice keeps melting, and we are definitely going to all turn that, into Hinderstap residents.
I have lyrics for us. Well, not for us, for me. I just need to get them up. So this will not be a movie quote, but for those of you that know what this is, make sure you hit us up on Twitter. And there may or may not have been a hint in some of what Josh has already said. But the lyrics are, oh, can you tell me, the way the story ends? A monster in my heart, a ghost inside my chest. If you don't know it from that, then you don't deserve to win.
I don't even know that.
I will send it to you in secret attic Black Tower chat.
Okay. That'd be great, because I have no idea what the hell you just said.
I can almost guarantee you will. Once he tells you, you don't know.
So, but Hinderstap, I think, is definitely deserves a place in the top 10 spoopiest moments in the Wheel of Time, because
I agree.
It sets up this really great, eerie little village where it's like,
what the hell is a Hinderstap?
They come in. Well, not only that, but Matt is like, hey, I'm a nice guy, puts on his winningest smile. And the Hinderstap mayor is like, you can come in, you can trade, but fuck off before sundown.
You gonna be gone before the sun goes.
Gonna be gone. I promise you. And
one of two things is going to happen. One of two things is going to happen.
Yeah.
You're going to be gone before the sun goes down, or you're going to see some shit.
And all I can think of is like, Deliverance. You know, it's like, y'all best keep on going down the road. You know, it's like, keep on moving, bitch. Like,
once the sun goes down, it's like, you got a purdy man.
Matt actually notices everybody's clothing seems to be pretty good, except for the fact that there are too many mends. There are too many rips. There are too many holes that have been mended. And he's like, this is really weird. Yep. And then the fact that everybody
said men's like a plural of a plural.
Oh, no. Mend.
I was like, what?
Mend.
There's too many men's here. There's too many
too men's. Many dicks on the dance floor.
Sausage party in Hinderstap.
He notices that these people's clothing have been mended and mended and mended and mended. And he thinks it's a little odd, but he's currently conning the village out of their resources, which, I mean,
rude.
It is rude, but you do what you do when you're the leader of the Band of the Red Hand.
I mean, you do what you do when you're Matt. That's what made it's you true. The leader and, of the Red and Band of the Red Hand.
So he tempts them with this gold that he's got. He's got a shit ton of gold, and they're, oh my God, they're in it. They're here for that. And he's losing on purpose to get them to, you know, it's a classic, you know, Mr.
He's X, hustling right? them.
Exactly.
He's hustling. Yeah.
And through a series of events, he gets them all on the hook, and he's about to reel them in, and all of a sudden the sun goes down, and you start hearing screaming. And everybody in the village loses their damn minds and starts killing the shit out of everything and everyone around them.
And that's your teaser for our episode on Hinderstap.
I will stop there because there's so much
there
that
is.
You can get into with Hinderstap. And we can do our own episode, maybe next Halloween.
We already did an episode.
We already did one.
Well, maybe,
bless you.
Fine.
A teaser for an episode that's already out.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Go back and listen to it.
Honestly, I will say that definitely these, you know, 10 spoopiest or whatever, you know, points in the story are in no particular order. Bless you again. But Hinderstap is definitely pretty high up there as far as while you're reading it and before you know what's going on in Hinderstap, it gets fucky. It gets fucky really quick.
It makes bad fucky wucky.
It makes bad fucky wucky.
But they never go to sleep in the forever box. That's the weird part.
Which is a problem in this case.
Yeah, that is the issue. Were you wondering what was wrong with Hinderstap? The problem with the Hinderstap is that they never go to sleep in the forever box. Listen to the episode and listen and find out. Lafo? Go back and Lafo?
Laugh and fuck
yes.
Lafo. No, laugh and listen, find out.
Listen and find out. Black Tower Podcast, yeah. Inventors of the Lafo.
Indeed. No, but it's definitely a solid piece of the story. And I was actually very happy when Josh sent us either the link or whatever about the fact that that was actually entirely Brandon Sanderson. I'm actually really happy to know that because I think Hinderstap was really cool. And yes. And Brandon did a good job with it. I'm going to throw my hat in the ring with one of the spoopiest moments. And that is the encounter that Matt, Rand, and Perrin have with Mordeth in Shadar Lagoth. That's definitely one of the things that I thought was the spookiest, which I won't necessarily include it, but like then extends out to the, you know, frantic ride into the night from Mashadar. But the scary scene is definitely Matt, Rand, and Perrin are all off on their own. They're being dumb because Matt was...
Because farm boys from...
Because Matt's incorrigible and unfortunately...
Farm boys gonna do what farm boys gonna do.
Basically, and he just drags Rand and Perrin in because Perrin thinks he's going to save him and Rand just has no filter at that point. And so they go off and they meet this guy in Shadar Lagoth where there's supposed to be no fucking people. They've been told that. And he says,
"By an Aes Sedai."
Yes.
An Aes Sedai is like, this shit is dangerous.
Everybody, yeah, even the shadow avoids this. There'll be nobody here.
Which on one hand...
Stay by me.
Which on one hand...
Here's this random guy that says, I have treasure.
And on one hand, again, I do appreciate that literally all of these guys are like, the truth that Aes Sedai tells you isn't necessarily the truth that's the truth and whatnot. And they've like had some shit go bad in their own village and they don't want to be here and everything's off the rails. But at the same time, Aes Sedai can't lie, bruh. Aes Sedai can't lie. And so when she tells you...
that rhymes.
I know, right? And when she tells you that maybe everything here is dangerous and try not to make bad fucky wucky, and then you're like, shit, puppies and candy.
Is Shadar Lagoth, is it Australia? Everything will kill you?
No. Because there's very specifically two entities that will kill you. And in Australia, I would say that somewhere in the neighborhood of 12,000 things will kill you. But I like the association. It's probably the closest thing that... Actually, no. The Waste is Australia. Everything in the Waste wants to kill you, including the Aiel.
I like it.
In fact, especially the Aiel.
Especially the end. I like it.
But yeah, no. So they go and meet this guy. He's not supposed to be there. They've been told that there's no people in Shadow Logoth, and the Shadow avoids it. Then he says, yo, I got puppies and candy. All you got to do is help me carry these puppies and candy out to my donkeys. Outside the city. And so they go with him because they're idiots.
Yes.
And they go downstairs and there's a bitch ton of treasure. And everything seems to be okay. I mean, like, we as the reader know everything's not okay. We're smart enough and objective enough
to know. That's fine. Everything's fine, guys. Everything was not fine.
But everything was not fine.
Record scratch. You might be wondering how I got here. But yeah, so then they go into that, and the scariest visual, maybe not the scariest, but one of the scarier visuals is once this entity that is in Shadow Logoth finds out that they are not alone, and there's an Aes Sedai with them. He gets very angry, and he blows up like a balloon.
Which and he sounds takes up funny.
The whole fucking room.
But put yourself in this situation, okay? You're a farm boy from nowhere. You've never seen anything but the backside of your neighbor's farm. And all of a sudden you're going to a big-ass city with an Aes Sedai and a warder who you're already terrified of. And they say,
and rightly so, because it's fucking Lon Mandragora.
Right? And they say, don't make fucky wucky in this city. And here you are in the midst of making fucky wucky.
And you are 32 White Claws deep.
And I'm going to go get a White Claw just because you said that. No, please, but then there's this dude who's yelling and screaming and starts blowing up like a balloon right in front of you.
Just love how
and is still he's cognizant like... and is still yelling at you. That's terrifying.
Just love how he's all like, oh, wait, you're not alone?
Now it's time for me to kill you.
Baseball. No, and I also love the idea that he's like, oh, you're not alone? Everyone floats down here, motherfuckers.
We all float down here, Rand. And when you're down here, you'll float too.
But anyway, that's my scariest moment. Because honestly, again, trying to put myself into I've always associated a hell of a lot with Rand. It's one of the reasons that I love this goddamn series so much. Because there really is, again, I'm not saying that I should be playing him in the television show and that I'm a shoo-in part or anything. But at the same time, there are a lot of similarities between myself and the character of Rand. And it's one of the reasons that I fucking love this series for so long. But putting yourself into any, whatever Two Rivers bumpkin you associate the most with, whether it be Rand, Matt, or Perrin, just put yourself into that situation.
Or
and I'd be terrified as fuck.
Any of the Edmund Field Five.
Well, two of them aren't there in this particular.
Okay,
I'm talking about in this scene.
Okay,
yeah. Put yourself into this scene as either Matt, Rand, or Perrin, and I'd be shitting myself.
Not to mention the fact
that I would be soiled so easily.
This entire time they've been actively hunted by Trollocs.
And Drakkar.
Yeah.
And Murdrol.
Oh my. Yeah, like it's fucking
Trollocs and Drakkar and Murdrol. Oh my.
Oh my.
Trollocs and Drakkar and Murdrol. Oh my. Trollocs and Drakkar and Murdrol. Oh my god.
Okay. I don't think I'm
ready for this, guys.
If I were the
king of Redland.
Shadow Spawn.
I need a brain. I need a heart. I need some courage. You know, both of ours seem like medical emergencies. Yours just seems like a self-esteem issue. Anyway, but yeah, that's mine.
Andrew,
I'm fucking terrified of that scene.
Oh, Andrew, so it's not my scariest or the scene that was scariest to me. Sure. But I think it's worth for those that are fans of the Jeepers Creepers movies. When you see a fucking figure
nailed to barn doors, it tends to cause some concern, especially when it's a murderall. That's a fucking scary scene. Like, it's like a suspense scary scene where it's like,
preach, Andrew.
Okay, I feel like I've seen this movie somewhere. And the entire time I'm reading, I'm just waiting for the murderall to like snap to reality. Oops, there goes gravity.
Snap back to reality. Oh, yeah. There goes gravity.
Yeah. Like, that's what I was expecting the whole time. And of course, it doesn't happen, but it's like, it's one of those things, like, once apparently, it doesn't happen.
All we needed to do was put you and me in a basement for 3 days, and now we're just on the same page every step of the way, Andrew.
Apparently. But, I mean, it's one of those things, like, you're like, okay, this thing's going to come to life and attack, okay. And then it doesn't. And then the people there actually ask the important question.
That is some Dark Souls shit.
Yeah, and then apparently, you know, well, not apparently, but then the people that are actually there and involved ask the important question, like, what the fuck is so evil that it would nail a murderall to the fucking barn door? And you already know that Fane is a motherfucker you don't really want to fuck with. But that whole scene just, like, re-emphasizes the fact that you're like, okay, this is a motherfucker you really don't want to really fuck with.
No, and what are we doing? It's definitely going one that, like, tears up Pat on Fane. I completely agree.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's major building for Fane. For the fandom.
No, because when it comes right down to it, at the very beginning of the story, Pot on Fane's useless. Like, honestly, he shows up in the Two Rivers, and he's this blusterous piece of shit merchant who, like, it gets credence because he has news. But not because he's worth anything. Fucking no one... The only reason Pot on Fane is interesting is because no one else in the village is. Effectively. And then you get Faldara, and he just tears up on the, like, evil bullshit level. And then you, like, chase him in the Great Hunt, and all of a sudden he's nailed a murderall to the center of fucking town, and he just tears up on evil again.
And he's like, laughing what? At it. He's right? giggling. He thinks it's
Faldara. Right? Faldara's where you're like, okay, Fane's got boys. He's got people, but, you know, he's part of the bad people, so you can kind of expect that. Okay, I got that.
Right? Oh, and he's a dark
then,
friend.
And maybe then this entire scene with the murderall.
But he's just a dark friend. No, he's
And then the whole scene with the murderall on the barn door is so like, okay, he doesn't just have people. He is people. Fuck.
Right? Oh, he's terrifying. So, not on Fane is...
Not the scariest
Well, and I
scene,
think...
But...
I think
No, I will actually...
The scariest character, that counts.
Oh, well, yeah. my thing wasn't Pat Fane. It's the murderall nailed to the barn door. I think it's a scary scene, especially
right. for
Jeepers Creepers, but it's not my scariest scene.
Agreed. When you talk... I like that as a choice, because, again, it's one of the things that really, again, tears up. It levels up a scary character.
Right.
Through a scene that is in and of itself kind of fucking scary.
when you take a creature that is fear
evil
incarnate,
yeah, like
it looks at you and your entire limbic system floods with fear. You feel fear on a chemical level just by it looking at you.
The and look Pot of the Fane eyeless is fear.
Giggling. He's giggling as he nails this damn thing to a fucking...
Also, again, like, what? It's one of those situations...
That's going to be hard to watch.
It is. No, you're absolutely right. And it's again, a question...
When that scene comes out on the TV show...
Well, and it's also a question of how much building of Fane are they going to do in terms of, like, them coming across the murderall on the barn. Very important, I think, to this. And maybe not, like, very, very important, but, like, kind of important to the story. So we're almost guaranteed going to get that piece of it. But are we going to get Fane actually nailing it to the fucking door? Are we going to see that? Are we going to see that, like, just evil oozing out of a person as it happens? I don't know. It's definitely one of those moments where I do hope that it happens, because again, Fane is a major character in the story. And he's a terrifying entity in this story. And that scene does a lot, like right near the beginning of the story, to explain just how fucky Padan Fane is. But I don't know. It's definitely one of those moments that you could take out and leave it for the book people to know that Padan Fane is the worst.
He really is.
But I don't know.
Before I give my before I give my ultimate pick, my number one scariest moment. My
number one draft pick.
I'm gonna pose a poll to the live studio audience, and I'm just gonna say watermelon or mango. I just want you to post in the Discord right now, watermelon or mango.
There's currently no live audience.
Nobody's back. We've got our unofficial fact checker with us. He's back. So watermelon or mango to our live audience. You pick watermelon or mango. Okay. And then I'm going to lead into my number one pick. And I'm going to say, so even reading it for the first time, you got Rand Althor and Tam Althor on the farm, isolated, completely away from anyone. And it even talks about how it's like an entire day's journey into the town. And Tam goes upstairs and busts out a sword.
To be fair, I do want to throw out there, it's actually less than half a day's journey to the from the farm to town, because they actually make the entire round trip in one day with a village council meeting. Isolated.
Can't just jump over to the village pub.
Exactly. Yes, I agree with you. On principle.
Rand sits down completely oblivious. They've got stew. He's talking about what kind of wood you're going to put on that fire. Him and Tam are sitting there. Tam comes down with a damn sword. Rand, being the clueless idiot he is, goes, "Hey, what you got that for?" And Tam's just like, your mother told me to sell it. Let's hope she was right. And then they're like, cool. And then they ease up next to the fireplace to read and just chill for the evening. And I can't even begin to describe the horror when a literal nightmare legend myth kicks in your door. Like... They're all just sitting there chilling, having a grand old time, when a damn Trolloc busts in. Like, to me, it might not be the scariest moment in the books as far as the one that does the most psychological damage to the reader. But I will say it is the scariest moment in the book from the perspective of Rand Althor. Because at this point in time, Rand is, he's a farm kid, man. He just, you know, we grow the tobacco. We have the goats. We got the chickens. You know, it's what we do.
I hope it's a jump scare in the show.
I hope in the show this scene is, this is the scene I hope gets the award, right? When they're doing like the TV awards or whatever, blah, blah, blah.
The Emmys?
Sure.
Most likely this to make me shit one, my pants.
I don't think it should be a jump scare. I think it should be tension that builds without you even knowing about it. And Rand being like unnerved and unsettled, and you as the viewer being unnerved and unsettled, but thinking something's about to go fucky. And we don't know what it is. We have no clue what it is.
Something's about to go fucky, and we're not ready for the wucky.
Exactly. And then when something happens, it's Rand's entire world shatters in that moment. when there he sees Trollocs
baby all in my balls
for the
on
first
a
time.
Burst, then.
There I am, stew on my chin when a Trolloc bursts in. Like, for real. He's a kid from a farm, isolated in the middle of nowhere. And all of a sudden, not only does a Trolloc bust in, but his dad's like, it's time to kill some shit.
Harry, this, you fucking casual.
Also, just so you guys know, I wasn't making the shit up. I got myself a watermelon
white claw. Yeah, damn.
I got this watermelon white claw in my mouth.
Nice.
I don't know how.
Yeah, no, honestly, it's one of those moments that when like Game of Thrones came out, I'd read the first book, the very first one. And so I did not have very many moments when I was like sitting down and watching Game of Thrones with people where I needed a really good poker face. Because the vast majority of Game of Thrones, I was intaking with everybody else who was only watching the show.
Right.
Like, I hadn't read the books. And so this is one of those moments where I know that I'm going to be like on my couch watching it with my roommates. Yes. And just and be like white knuckling. Like, well, the back of my couch.
They have to make
trying
it,
my yeah. ass off not to ruin the fact that this is going to be scary as shit and the fact that it's going to ruin everybody's day as it's happening. And I'm just going to be like, yes, no faces, no face, Narg smart.
Surprise, motherfucker.
And I don't know what God. I'm going to do. I'm going to have to, like, just be good at poker face and acting with my roommates so that they don't know what's coming. Because literally no one I live with has read this book.
And this is one of the situations in which we want not a word-for-word recreation of the books on the small screen.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't want to be sitting there and be like, Narg gonna bust in 3 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want that. I want to be going, when are the Trollocs coming? Holy shit. And if Rafe is not toying with my emotions, I will be severely disappointed.
I will be as well. I want if Rafe does not have my balls juggling in his hands.
Like David Bowie. Like
Tom
like David at a fucking performance. Like Tom fucking Marilyn with the King of Gale Dems.
You remember the fucking?
I don't want it.
You remember the fucking thing?
How many balls do you have, Daniel?
Just two. It's just the two.
Oh, just two?
Yeah, just the two.
I'm a dragon.
Are those Durgan balls?
They are not. They're contact
balls. One of them was.
You remember the fucking? What was the name of that fucking ball that they sold on like late night television, or whatever? It was like clear outside, metal inside, where you could like do. They showed the guy doing all the fucking little tricks with it.
I don't know.
I feel
I apologize.
Old.
What are you talking about?
Was it the Fushigi? Was that what it was called?
Oh, don't talk about Fushigi. Fushigi's the worst.
Oh, all right. This is talk for later. I don't want to. This is
Fushigi
terrifying.
Gravity ball.
Yeah. So contact juggling is a sacred art.
Yeah. No, contact juggling is amazing.
It's easier
actually
when
kind
you
of
have
terrifying
a clear
sometimes.
With no lines on it.
It is.
Yeah, my balls are not clear.
Have you seen
very opaque balls.
Have you seen the actual Dragon Ball? Like, not, I'm not talking about the anime or anything like that. The extraction process removes everything from the cannabis plant except the cannabis themselves. And a concentrate known as The Clear was born. It's created in Seattle by X-Traced Labs. The concentrate is imported to glass orbs, given the breathtaking appearance of Dragon Balls, like from the series. It's super, like, orange and shining in color. But yeah, weird. 99% sure THC balls with a weight of 3,000 grams.
This
almost
I will say
the average
just
weight of a newborn baby.
For record, for anybody listening to this, I am not holding anything. I'm holding acrylic balls. With which I am severely out of practice. But I do know the art of contact juggling.
That explains Indeed. Why our After Dark episode went so well.
You damn right, boy.
But back to the topic at hand.
Oh, that's right. We were talking about something.
I'll go ahead and throw out my...
It's not like we have a podcast or anything.
Right. My very top choice for top 10 spoopiest points in the series, and that is Randall Thor chasing the Forsaken around in the Stone of Tyr.
Ooh, good.
That is actually my sort of spookiest part. Not the one after he's taken Tyr, but before. He picks up Kalendor, and Moraine kills Balal, but there is very clearly still at least one, if more than one, Forsaken in Tyr dealing with this shit. And there ensues a chase where Rand is trying to
There catch. Was a chase!
There was a firefight!
There was a balefire fight!
And it's crazy, because again, this is also happening, this particular thing is also happening at the same time as another person is trying to save their lady love from Teleran Riad. And both of those things happening at the same time, Perrin trying to save Faile, and Rand chasing a Forsaken around in the Stone of Tyr, are happening simultaneously. The way that they happen in the books is so interweaved that I'm like, it was definitely one of the most suspenseful pieces of the book. It was definitely the, like, I was on the edge of my seat, could not put the book down, didn't care what was going on around me in real life. Like, I just need to know what's going on, and I need to know everybody's going to be safe. And fucking Perrin's being told by Hopper that he's going to fucking kill himself in Teleran Riad. And Rand's chasing a Forsaken around when he doesn't have any idea what the fuck he's doing. And he's got a new shiny ass. And he's got a new shiny ass sword that he doesn't fucking know how to use. And shit, it was definitely one of the most, like, edge of my seat. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm actually really worried for these characters. Because, again, we're talking about the end of the second book here.
Yeah.
This is not far into the series.
Robert
Jordan has not shown a propensity necessarily to George R. R. Martin, all his characters. But he also has not shown a propensity to not to. And so I'm still worried about all of these characters because I'm not sure which ones are going to make it out alive. I'm not sure which ones are actually the most important yet. I don't know what the fuck is going on. There is some shit that has gone down. Everything's fucky and I am scared.
If you want to make it out alive, run for your life.
But yeah, so that is definitely
my... It won't be long.
That is my top contender just because, again, I was so... My heart was pounding in my chest when I was reading all of that happening at the same time.
Agreed. That's, so that's a good one.
I'll give you what was, for me, the scariest moment because everything was chill until it was not.
Everything was fine until the Fire Nation attack.
Yeah.
Damn it, Fire Nation!
So, this event can be found in The Eye of the World, Chapter 45, entitled, What Follows in Shadow. And everything was fine until somebody turns to Loyal and says, Loyal, didn't you say there isn't any wind in the ways?
And he says, no, I didn't say that. I said
we need to get the fuck out of here when there's no natural wind ways.
But I mean, look, it's silent, it's dark, you've been going around for a while and you're like, okay, you know, there's this big scary thing somewhere out there. It's like a Moby Dick / Jaws kind of thing. It's out there, but it's probably far away. And then you just start hearing wind.
We're going to need a bigger Tarungriel.
And then definitely you're just like,
going to need a bigger Tarungriel.
Listening, and you're like,
ooh, shit.
That's not wind. Wait, that's voices. Oh, God. What the fuck are they saying? And all that happens is Moraine just looks at
the flesh from the bones.
Moraine's just like, fucking run! Run.
Eat the eyeballs.
Like, that was for me, like, one of the moments.
Let the bodies hit the flow. Let the bodies hit the flow. Let the bodies hit the...
There is no flow!
Gonna give it to you.
No, no, I gotta say...
Wake up!
That, for me, that was like one of the most, that was one of the most like 0 to 100 moments in the series. Like
the thing that makes it fine, worse,
and then it's just fucking not.
The thing that makes it worse though, for me in that situation is that Loial is like, you know, oh no, we can't go into the ways. And then Moraine is like, but we kind of have to go into the ways. And he's like, okay, let's go into the ways. And so then they go into the ways and then they're traveling for several days, and then all of a sudden it's like, Loial, is there anything in here with us?
Oh no, if there was something we'd be dead.
Okay, but I kind of hear wind. And then Loyal's just like, huh?
Oh, that,
wait, so remember when I said there wasn't anything here? Yeah, what I meant was,
if there's something here, we're fucked, dead is what we're saying.
And not just dead. No, at that, he chooses that time. They've been traveling in the ways for days. 4 days. And he chooses that time to give them the detail of explanation of the horror that exists within the ways.
That's who Loial reminds me of. Oh my God. God, I've never put it together. Michael Kramer reading fucking Loial reminds me of a horror from the Pagemaster.
Ooh. Okay.
Rand, you should not put a long handle on your axe.
Sound like Ed from Ed, Ed, and Eddie.
That's also accurate. I don't want to.
My parents took, I don't want to go there because I am grounded. That's disturbing. No, so like, I mean, you get a brief.
What little... are we going to do when they take our jawbreakers?
All right,
Kevin, would you like to see what lies beyond?
I have beautiful sight.
What?
Apologies for the abruptness, rude. But. My brother was just in an accident, so I've got to duck out. So,
yeah
dude, I'll
talk to you guys later.
Well wishes to your brother.
Indeed.
Oh, man.
All right, so we got one more. We're going to do the six, the top six, which was probably always in the cards.
Well, so we've talked about six scary moments.
Oh, wait, no, yeah, you finished yours. I don't know why the fuck I'm being dumb.
There's four more because we said 10.
Yeah, we don't actually need to do 10. I don't think 10 is
false
is
advertising.
A commitment that we made.
Yeah,
but yeah, I think that those are right. We'll fix it in post.
Why didn't he just leave the call? Why, like, favorite thing. I'm gonna kick him.
No, I like the chair. Just watch.
Yeah,
the chair.
But it's annoying for editing.
No, you're right. You're absolutely right. But yeah, so I think that's pretty solid. Those are like definitely some of the six. In fact, I think what we should do is we should make a top 10 list. But what we should do here is take a poll from the listeners.
Top 10 scariest moments of the Wheel of Time.
Your
Faldara foot lettuce.
My cabbages! no, but basically I at least, and I hope that my compatriots will also be with me.
I think that the Gathering Madness showed us that when between the two of us, they will be.
True.
Which I am not upset at all about. Seriously, I still don't even know what the fuck cribbage is.
Between everybody, we want to hear like maybe your top one, your top two, or maybe your top three sort of spookiest moments, spooky Wheel of Time moments of the entire series. Go ahead and either post them onto a forum on blacktowerpod.com or throw it at us in our Twitter or our Instagram or our Discord, and we will go ahead and make a list of the top 10 scariest moments curated by both the listeners and the podcast members of the three of us.
You know what we should do?
And we'll throw that up there, you know, maybe, I don't know, like a week after Halloween. Maybe.
Have you ever listened to like the podcast or YouTube channels that do like scary stories and they like read them? We do the list.
Not specifically.
We do the list, and then we read them out as the scary stories.
Ooh, I really like that. That sounds awesome. That
could be dope.
That could be super dope. I'm down. So you heard it here, folks. You heard it here first. No, so definitely go ahead and send in your picks for either top one, top two, or top three. Don't do more than three, just because, again, this is going to be a top 10 list. And while I am not, you know, averse to work, there's going to be a lot of overlap here. Oh, so
I just had an idea.
Go ahead and do.
We were talking about a giveaway for a BTP logo hoodie. We can bracket it.
Boom!
And whoever wins the scariest scene from Wheel of Time will get a BTP logo hoodie sent to them free of charge. If they
you know
want
what, it. Andrew? If anybody ever in your life doesn't it tells you that you're not brilliant, slap that person in the face and tell them Daniel Byshank sends his regards.
Daniel Althor Byshank sends his regards.
Indeed. But no, that's fantastic. So awesome. So everybody, get on your, hop on your wiki, make sure that you have your setup for either your top or your maybe as many as top three scariest points in the series, and we're gonna go ahead and set up a bracket probably on Twitter because that's the easiest place to do it, and we'll go ahead and do some votes and some fun and some awesomeness, and we'll put something together. And you heard it here first from the man, the myth, the legend, Andrew, that there is a hoodie involved. There's a hoodie.
And you get to choose the size.
Whoa! Damn.
We're but so yeah, generous.
So, I know, right? And we'll probably end up being in the competition as well, so you'll have some steep competition, because if you don't know already, we know these books like the back of our hands. Oh, that's
new.
Awesome. But yeah. This has been a fun episode. I like this. Happy Halloween, everybody. We know that it was last week, but enjoy the rest of spoopy season. And yeah, we already did plugs earlier. Oh, but one that we forgot, as always, do make sure that you go and check out the Crystal Barista. She was our illustrious sponsor for the Gathering Madness. She did a great job. On Facebook, it's facebook.com/rockpick, rockpick. And then she also has Instagram at the Crystal Barista as well. Barista, like a person who gives you your coffee. But cute. Yeah, it's cool. It's fun stuff. Rocks are cool. We got to see some actually pretty dope rocks in a ravine while we were out at the Gathering Madness.
Yeah, Daniel and Josh both found ammonite, and I found a fossilized leaf.
Yeah. No, it was really cool.
It was a lot of fun.
Don't tell anyone this. Wait, hang on, we're recording. Don't tell anyone this, but I definitely woke up that morning being like, this is maybe going to be really lame. And we're going to maybe not have that much fun going and doing this because I have no idea what I'm looking for. And there's some people who have lots of experience and I do not. And by the end of the day, I was like, bitch, that was a blast.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
So But yeah. Oh, good times.
Good times.
And next year, we're going to be wherever Andrew is. Whether that be in Utah with Josh's old job or North Carolina with your job. Who knows?
Yeah, yeah. We'll see what
happens.
October
2021 will be wherever in the world Andrew is. And you're all invited to join us wherever Andrew is.
Maybe I'll finally meet some Wheel of Time fans that live around here.
Maybe. Maybe
minus
not.
The one guy, just bring them. Minus the one guy I met at work several months ago.
Indeed.
It's not like I wear my love of the series on my sleeve.
Well, I mean, the problem is that you don't usually wear sleeves.
Which is why you can see my love of the series. It's on the proverbial sleeve. The tattoo sleeve.
Well, I mean, at this point, I have to admit that, like, your arm is covered enough that I would not necessarily call that, like, a sleeve, but it's close enough.
Yeah. Eventually, I'll get it finished.
It's pretty dope.
I used to be better at finishing. Dope. Now it takes a little bit longer.
Oh, man, the one thing that we didn't get at the Gathering Madness.
Yeah. Tattoos. Yeah. Well,
it's okay.
Like we said before, we thought we had 1,001 days, and we accidentally had 0.2 days.
Yeah. But it's okay. We'll get something designed, and in North Carolina, or the UK, or Utah, or wherever Andrew is, we'll actually make a plan and a design for a tattoo that we can all get.
Oh, yeah.
And by then, I'll be rich and famous, so it won't matter where on my body I get it, you know.
Because we're all just one of the big rock stars. Blah, 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 15 cars.
Big teen cars. good times. But thank you, everyone, who is here live listening. You guys are awesome. Thank you to all of our Patreons who will hear this episode on the 30th. And thank you to everyone who's not a Patreon, because you're still awesome and you're still listeners and we still love you. You don't have to be a Patreon to get our love. But thank you for being here and thank you for listening to us. We love you and we are forever grateful to what you guys do for us, even if that is just listening. That is plenty. That is enough. And we appreciate the shit out of all of it. But yeah, from everybody here at the Black Tower Pod, unless there's anything that I missed.
Nope, I don't think so. So I have been Andrew.
And I have been Daniel.
And I have been Josh, here in spirit, because I'm off to go help my brother, because he had an accident.
And we hope that you're having a wonderful morning, an amazing morning that feels awesome and that is the perfect temperature. And in case we don't see you again, good afternoon, good evening, and good night.